This is also used. Durlaba means weakness. Durbal means weakness. Give up this weakness in your heart of not doing what you are supposed to be doing. And arise, Parantava, chastiser of the enemy. Then Arjuna, he calls him Klaibyam in one verse too. That means you are impotent. And to call a Kshatriya, say that you are impotent, is calling him like a weakling. It's like slapping him in the face. This is the job of the spiritual master, to take this position. You're a fool, you're a rascal. I heard a tape recently where Prabhupada was saying, was Arjuna actually, was he actually a fool or a rascal at this time? And Prabhupada actually says both. He's a great devotee and he's a fool. And Prabhupada in this tape said, yes, one should be a fool in front of the spiritual master. It's the spiritual master's right and duty to say you are a fool. Even if you have good qualities, it is the spiritual master's duty. So then Arjuna gives some more reasons why he can't fight. And then finally, in text 7, and this is where we'll stop, he says, Karpanya doshopadhatta svabhava pritstami tvam dhamasamudhateta yatsreyasyan nitschitam bhutam me sityasteham sarimam tam prapanam. Now I'm confused about my duty, and I have lost all composure because of miserly weakness. In this condition, I'm asking you to tell me for certain what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. So this brings us to the point of getting spiritual knowledge. Arjuna has so much intelligence, so many good reasons why he shouldn't fight. He has so much shastra to quote, so much logic, so much argument, but the result is that he is simply confused. And this is the position of every man in this world, unless he gets the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. He must remain confused, no matter how intelligent and qualified he is. I want to read this purport. Explains the situation perfectly. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity, and therefore it behooves one to approach a bona fide spiritual master who can give one proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literature advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. But they happen, and they must happen, and they will continue happening. They are like a forest fire that somehow blazes without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. No one wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we become perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is in the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach a spiritual master. That is the purport of this verse. Okay. On your sadhana cards, you can write down that Burijan kept me late. So you can write down that you're there on time. One question.
You said that you didn't lose Panchala because you wanted to get a Panchala of Krishna.
Bhishma. Did I say Duryodhana?
Bhishma.
So Bhishma lose Panchala because you wanted to get the Panchala of Krishna.
And why?
Because he was a devotee.
And he was telling by that when Duryodhan was trying to get him all fired up, and he was saying, I will do my duty and fight as I'm supposed to, but Krishna is on the other side, so I do not think we will win. That was the message of the conch shell. Okay. Take touch then.
Do you want to describe a little bit about the course of the test?
Well, there'll be one test at the end. I'll ask you that verse. How's that for a description? The Sanskrit and English, at least the first two lines that I quoted. Deneo ubeo madye. There's no homework, probably. Bring Bhagavad Gita's. If I may, I'm going to go somewhat by inspiration in this course. I'll see how I feel and how it develops. I'm not going to ask you esoteric little points on the test, but major points about the content that I speak, and there's nothing written on. I could ask that. Something on Krishna's Bhaktivata, for example, in this class. What are some examples of Krishna's, but what's some more examples of Krishna's Bhaktivata?
Draupadi, when she is being disrobed.
Draupadi, another one. When what?
Yagya's time.
What yagya? Govanan yagya. No. I'm sorry. Oh, Rajasuya yagya. He washed it. He washed everyone's feet. Also, man who was
the
world. But that, yes, but no. That was Brahman Vatsal. Bhishma Dev, yeah. Wow. I actually brought Chaitanya Charitamrita here too, because Lord Chaitanya is also called Bhaktivatsal. Oh, Lord Chaitanya is really Bhaktivatsal. I can't help myself. Please forgive me. Listen to this. All sane men within these three worlds certainly accept the conclusion that no one is more merciful and magnanimous than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that no one is as kind to his devotees. He is Bhaktivatsala. All devotees should hear about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes with faith and love. By the grace of the Lord, one can thus attain shelter at his lotus feet. By understanding the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can understand the truth about Krishna. By understanding Krishna, one can understand the limit of all knowledge described in various revealed scriptures. The pastimes of Lord Krishna are the essence of all nectar. They flow in hundreds of rivers in all directions. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are an eternal reservoir, and one is advised to let his mind swim like a swan on this transcendental lake. With all humility, I submit myself to the lotus feet of all you devotees, taking the dust from your feet as my bodily ornament. Now, my dear devotees, please hear one more thing from me. Devotional service to Krishna is exactly like a pleasing, jubilant forest of lotus flowers, wherein there is ample honey. I request everyone to taste this honey. If all the mental speculators bring the bees of their mind into this forest of lotus flowers and jubilantly enjoy ecstatic love of Krishna day and night, their mental speculation will be completely transcendentally satisfied. The devotees who have a relationship with Krishna are like the swans and chakravaka birds that play in the forest of lotus flowers. The buds of these lotus flowers are the pastimes of Krishna, and they are edible for the swan-like devotees. Lord Sri Krishna is always engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, the devotees, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can always eat those lotus buds, for they are the pastimes of the Lord. All the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should go to that lake, and remaining always under the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, become swans and chakravaka birds in those celestial waters. They should go on rendering service to Lord Sri Krishna and enjoy life perpetually. This is the benediction of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In this way, all miseries will be diminished. The devotees will attain great happiness, and they will be jubilant love of God. The devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take the responsibility for distributing nectarian devotional service all over the world. They are like clouds pouring water on the ground that nourishes the fruit of love of Godhead in this world. The devotees eat that fruit to their heart's content, not just distribute, they should take also. And whatever remnants they leave are eaten by the general populace. Thus they live happily. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are full of nectar, and the pastimes of Lord Krishna are like camphor. When one mixes nectar and camphor, they taste very sweet. By the mercy of the pure devotees, whoever tastes them can understand the depth of that sweetness. Men become strong and stout by eating sufficient grains, but the devotee who simply eats ordinary grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually become weak and fall down from the transcendental position. However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to blossom, and he begins to laugh, sing, and dance. The reader should relish this wonderful nectar because nothing compares to it. Keeping their faith firmly within their minds, they should be careful not to fall into the pit of false argument or the whirlpools of unfortunate situations. If one falls into such position, he is finished. In conclusion, I submit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Charja, and all the other devotees and readers that I accept your lotus feet as the helmet on my head. In this way, all my purposes will be served. Taking the feet of Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Jiva Goswami on my head, I always desire their mercy. Thus I, Krishnadas, humbly try to describe the nectar of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which are mixed with the pastimes of Lord Krishna. For the satisfaction of Madan Gopal and Govinda Dev, we pray that this book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, may be offered to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Chaitanya Charitamrita pastime of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu constitutes a very secret literature. It is the life and soul of all devotees. Those who are not fit to relish this literature, who are envious like hogs and dogs, will certainly not adore it. However, this will not harm my attempt. These pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will certainly please all saintly people who have clear hearts. They will certainly enjoy it. We wish that this will enhance their enjoyment more and more. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.